Let's pray. Father, Lord, and King, we come before you this morning. We say, speak, O Lord, as we come before you. May your truth prevail over unbelief. O King of Kings, we thank you for the kingdom that is prepared for us, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Speak to us even this day, Lord, as we come before your holy throne through the preaching of your word. Teach our mouth to move as we preach. Teach our ears to listen. May the truth sink deep down in us and build us. May your truth prevail, Lord, until your church is built. In the name of Christ, we all say amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter number 2.
Daniel chapter 2.
We shall commence our reading from verse 37 to verse 45. But we will draw most of our teaching from verse 44 and 45. Daniel chapter number 2. We have been in the book of Daniel for, I think, 4 different occasions, if not 3. Yeah, 3
occasions. Morena, Mata Lehanya, Babato, dikahetseng teng o di beile matso a gago o yentse morena wa tsona tsotlhe tlhogo ya Gauta kwena. Ka mora gago go tla tlhaga muso o mongwe o monyenyane wa gago, go nto ba muso o mongwe wa boraro wa koporo o tlang go busa lefatshe lotlhe, mme muso wa bone o tla ba le maatla a jalo ka a tshepe, jalo ka ga tshepe jalo ka tshepe ga e robakanye e thuhang o tla robakanya o silakanye ntho tsotlhe jwalo. Ga e le ka se o se boneng o ba maotle le menwana ya sona kenga e nngwe e le letsopa la mopi wa dipitsa ka nka e nngwe e le tshepe, ko obane mmuso o tla ba mmuso o a ruileng, empa o ona o tla ba o ka maatla a tshepe o bone tshepe e kopantswe le letsopa. Ga e le menwana ya maoto eo e ne e le ya tshepe ka nka e nngwe, mme ka nka e nngwe e le ya letsopa, ko bane mmuso o tla ba maatla ka nka e nngwe, ka nka e nngwe e be o pšhatlegang. Seo o se boneng ga se tshepe e ne e ga tshepe e ne e kopane le letsopa, ko bane ba tla nyalana ba kopantse meloko ya batho, mme ba keke ba momagana jalo ka ga tshepe ga e sa momagane le letsopa. Empa metlheng ya marena ao Modimo wa legodimo o tla tlhoma mmuso o kekeng wa senyega ka o sa eng kae, mme borena ba gago o keke ba fetela o setšhaba se seng, o tla robaka o fedise mebuso yeo ka fela, mme wona o tla ba teng ka o sa feleng. Jalo ka o bone lejwe a legepo wa thabeng e seng ka matso a motho le roba ka tshepe koporo letsopa selefera le Gauta, Modimo o mogolo o tsebisitse morena se tlang go etsagala ka morago go metlha ena. Toro ke ya nnete, mme kwa golo ya ona e tile.
And I will read now using the ESV. You, O King, King of Kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and unto whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of men, the beasts of the fields, and the birds of heaven. of the heavens, making you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall rise after you. And yet, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all things, or all this. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, he shall be a divided kingdom, but some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it break into pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. May the good God bless the reading of his word. And I would love to have your attention. I'm about to speak on a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, we know things do come to an end. Things do get destroyed. But there is a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to try to trace this kingdom. What kingdom is this? What benefit it is for us? Where are we standing today in terms of this kingdom? So through my little experience in this world, brethren, I have learned that every person, brothers and sisters, love his own country. He makes it his little kingdom. People don't like to hear bad things about their own country, their little kingdoms. If now I can say the president of Lesotho has been killed, everybody here will stand up with big ears trying to find out what happened to my country. Because we love our countries. We make our country a special place in our own hearts. I remember a couple of years ago in 2001, I was working for a company, Graceland, in Secunda. So one night around 10 p.m. we were standing by the bar watching news on TV. Then on TV they showed bad news that had happened to America. America was attacked by a terrorist.
America,
we know this as
9/11.
As we were standing there watching this terrible news and so wondering what had happened, we saw one man standing up from the bar, dripping tears in his face and coming towards us.
And atumela.
He stood and looked at us while we were watching TV and watching this news happening. His face was actually shining with tears. And I cannot forget, he said these words. He said, "Now they have awakened the lion." This man was angry. The terrorists had attacked his country. Not his home where his children are, his country. But for the love that he had for his country, he felt that somebody has touched his own spirit, he's touched his own soul. That's how much we love our own countries. We want to hear good things about our own countries. Let me say our kingdoms, our little kingdoms that we have built for ourselves. We see this very same thing happening in scripture, brothers and sisters, when we read in the book of Nehemiah chapter number
1.
We are told that other people came with a report, a bad report about his country, his kingdom, Jerusalem. They come and tell him bad news. And look at this attitude that Nehemiah has when he heard that something had happened in his country. In verse
3
and
4
he says, "And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame." The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. That's what he had. Look at his response now. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. These two examples I've given you, brothers and sisters, is to show how much sorrow a person can bear, how much sorrow can be in the heart of a man if he hears bad news about his little kingdom. Because this is a place that we have put in our own hearts. Do you have a place that you have put in your own heart? A special place in your heart. So allow me, brothers and sisters, to speak good about a kingdom that I belong to. I'm going to stand here and speak as an ambassador, speaking good things about a kingdom that I belong to, trying to invite some who are not yet in this kingdom, or trying to encourage some of us who are in the kingdom and say, "Hey, brothers, it is a great kingdom." So, looking at the situation in Babylon, brothers and sisters, we find the people of God in exile. The people of God have been mistreated in Babylon. There is no prosperity in Babylon as the people might have expected in their lives. And they are not living in peace as God perhaps promised that they will be living in a land of milk and honey. Although we don't see much in chapter number 1 and this chapter number 2 which we are dealing with, we don't see much of mistreatment. But we did see in chapter number 1 that they changed their diet and make them do things that they would not actually do if they were in Jerusalem.
They
are mistreated, we know much because we hear, in Psalm 137, they cry and say, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept, we remembered Zion. So as a Christian or as a somebody who's trying to find how God works and how God keeps his promises, you read the Old Testament. And you see God making promises, but you see these things that he says he's going to do, and you see them, looks like they're failing, and people are going through sin and disappointing God. And you keep wondering in your mind, what will happen to God's plan? And now we're here in Babylon, you find the children of God are in exile. You're asking yourself, has God's plan failed? Because these are the children of God, the only one that calls upon the real and the true God. But now they are in Babylon, in slavery. You ask yourself this question, has God's plan failed? They also must be asking these questions to themselves, has God failed? Has God rejected his plan? Does now the sin that people do hinder or overpower the plan that God has for the future? Remember the promise that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the same promise. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will increase your descendants to a nation, to a big number, a number, a multitude that no one can count. And we see them growing and growing and growing in number, but now they're in Babylon and decreasing in number, being killed each and every day. And you ask yourself, has God's plan failed? Here is Nebuchadnezzar sitting and smiling. Has God's plan been destroyed? Look at it from even from creation. God had a plan from creation. Let me just remind you. We read in the scripture that God created everything beautiful. And he put man in the center and says man must take care of everything. Over on top of everything. Yes. Creating man in his own image. And blessing people and says, multiply, fill the earth. What was God's plan? What did God want to see? This is what God wants to see. God wanted to see a large number of his little images walking down on earth, representing him in righteousness, in obedience to him.
But men sinned,
transgressed the law of God. And you see, the first child born of man is no longer a true image of God. The first son born of man is a murderer. He becomes a murderer. He murdered his own one and only brother. God allowed people to multiply. People carrying on and sinning before God. God wiped them out and leave 8 people and start again. And after starting again, man's heart was found not to be right before God. God, in other words, is showing us now today as readers, he's moving us so that we can look now. We must look how really human beings are. They fail themselves, they fail God and fail everything. Now it looks like God's plan now is failing because people are failing. He is creating this and is putting that into place and people are destroying it. You see God choosing one man, his name was Abraham, he changed it to Abraham. He chose this one man and he makes a promise, unto you I'll have a lot of descendants, people that will multiply and fill the earth. But we see the same people being now taken from Egypt. We see them in the land of promise going through a cycle of 400 years of sin. We see them wanting their own kingdom. They ask God for a kingdom. They want a king to rule over them. God gave them a king, a man after their own hearts. A man that was doing everything to please the people. He failed. He sinned before God. He led the whole nation of God unto sin. God gave them another king. A man after his own heart, after God's own heart. He also sinned. And because of his sin, later we find this kingdom of God now is being divided into two. Where we are standing, Nebuchadnezzar has captured one of these kingdoms. And the people of the world are laughing. Now we're asking ourselves, has God failed? Yes, his kingdom been captured. All these years he has been planning and planning, but yes, Nebuchadnezzar capturing God's kingdom. He even destroys the temple. He destroys the temple and uses the vessels of God for his own use. Then we come to chapter number
2.
Nebuchadnezzar is having a dream. We find that this dream tormented Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't sleep, brothers and sisters. We know about it. We have run through it a couple of weeks
back.
But while he's having this dream, we realize God bringing one of his children to interpret this dream. And while we're wondering what's going to happen, while the people are wondering what's going to happen, while they were in the midst of sorrow and wonder, we find for the first time great news. In verse 28, the Bible says, there is a God in heaven. Okay, there is a God in heaven. Now this, it opens our eyes. We are now so cautious. We want to find out, okay, if there is a God in heaven, what is he going to do? This becomes the first good news that we read. But I can say, brothers and sisters, it was also bad news at the same time. You will find out that it was bad news to other people while it was good news to the children of God. So while we are wondering to find out what's happening, while they are wondering to find out what will happen to them, we see God do a very remarkable thing in the life of this whole world. God caused a pagan king to dream about the future. So this king is dreaming about the future. And now Daniel is interpreting this, and we find in this interpretation the very foundation of our joy. While we're finding a very foundation of joy, which I will explain, we find Nebuchadnezzar being surprised. He's getting a surprise. We found that, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of Babylon was not untouchable as Nebuchadnezzar thought it was. We find that this kingdom, brothers and sisters, was standing only because God wanted it to stand. God wanted this kingdom to stand. But Nebuchadnezzar thought the kingdom was standing because he was King of Kings. We find in this dream, brothers and sisters, that there is no kingdom of man that is untouchable. There is no kingdom of man that will last forever. When you read these kingdoms, the other kingdoms that the Bible talks about, the kingdom of gold, bronze, silver, and iron, you realize that this is actually a true display of man's failure, a true display of man's iniquity on earth. It proves to us that man wants everything. Because we are told that while the kingdom of Babylon will be standing, another kingdom will come and take over and wipe up Babylon. And another kingdom will come and take up the next one and the next one. There will be so much iniquity happening on earth. As there is so much iniquity happening also. But where is this leading us to? Because we see these kingdoms having no regard for God. They don't care about God. They do what they want to do. Killing of children and women, murdering for own happiness and pride, removing one another from thrones and throwing each other up and down. We see how man operates in this world. And finally, we are introduced to a kingdom in verse number 44 and 45, where there seems to be no hope, where there seems to be a world of man doing what he wants to do. We find that there is a kingdom that will never be destroyed. This is what we read. We already have read it. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It's very important to listen. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end. Just as you saw that the stone was carved from a mountain by no human hands. And that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, and the silver, and the gold. A great God has made this thing known to you, O King. So, brothers and sisters, there we go. There is a kingdom that will never be destroyed. We have seen these other kingdoms. Kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, we are told, is going to be destroyed. Another kingdom following that will be destroyed. But there is a kingdom that will not be destroyed, because this kingdom will be set up by God himself in verse 44. It is the king, the very kingdom of God. Our task now is to trace back and verify if we are standing in this kingdom, and hopefully looking forward to, is it really the kingdom that Daniel is talking about?
gore nna ntse re tlame re shebe gore na muso o gore nna go lebeletse na kona ona Daniel a buang ka ona.
The kingdom of God.
E muso wa Modimo.
Where God will rule, where the eternal and sovereign God rule over all things and all creation.
Melo Modimo ke na a tsaba morena ho ntsotso.
The kingdom of God where we find the eternal blessing and happiness of those that believe. And we are told, brothers and sisters, this kingdom will be forever. We need to know that. It is a kingdom that is forever. It is a kingdom that is from everlasting to everlasting. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. And I'm reading verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Maybe that doesn't hit you hard. Listen to Daniel chapter 4, verse 3.
Mamela Daniel chapter 4, verse 3.
How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His domain endures from generation to generation. It is a kingdom that is forever. It is a kingdom that is about peace. It is a kingdom that brings joy. It is a kingdom that fulfills God's promise. But we need to find how. Because God did promise that there will come a time where he shall bruise the head of the serpent, where he shall put the devil under his feet. So this kingdom is the hope now for this fulfillment of God's promise. We find that, my brothers and sisters, that this kingdom shall not be ruled by men. Because man fails. Man is disappointment to even himself. There will be no change of hands in this kingdom. There will be no king that is set and moved by men. There will be one king, not many kings. There will be one authority, there will be one rule. There will be one power. And there will be one Lord. This is the kingdom that we are looking at today, brothers and sisters. The kingdom that comes to destroy sin. The kingdom of God. So this thing brings bad news to Babylon, brothers and sisters. How? Because Babylon now is being told Babylon will be destroyed. Would you like it? Somebody tells you. Like I ask you, would you like it? Someone come and says, your country will be destroyed. Why they don't like that, but brothers and sisters? When we look at it, it is great news. Because a kingdom that is built by men, a kingdom that is man-centered, will come to an end. The rule of sin will come to an end. Man's theories will come to an end. They're standing in Babylon. They're looking forward. They say there is a kingdom that is coming. Can I tell you good news, brothers and sisters, before I carry on? We're no longer standing in Babylon. We're not looking forward only. Now we're looking backwards. We find that this kingdom actually did come 2,000 years ago. So now we're trying to find out whether did Daniel, what he was talking about, being get fulfilled at the coming of Christ or not. We need to find joy that Jesus Christ is this kingdom that is promised to us. So we're looking now backwards as they're looking forward. Because this was past. Remember, Jesus Christ was not born here. But God was telling them that something was coming in the future. Are we together? So we need to find out, why was this thing coming, or this kingdom coming? Why was it necessary? So now, as we're standing here, brothers and sisters, we're looking to try and trace this kingdom, as I've said already. When we read Genesis chapter number 3, we find this. We find that God has promised a somebody and says this somebody is the seed of a woman who is coming to bruise the head of a serpent. So, someone who will be a seed, who will be born of a woman without a seed of a man. He's coming to destroy sin. He's coming to destroy the kingdoms of this world. The book of Genesis, when we carry on and reading it, in chapter number 17, it tells us this seed is actually a seed also called a seed of Abraham. Now we come to Galatians chapter number 3, the writings of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is writing looking backwards just like us. He's looking backwards at the coming of Jesus that has already happened. He says these things spoken about in Genesis chapter 17 points to Jesus Christ. He is the seed. Then we read in Matthew chapter number 3, verse number
1 to 2.
We find these words. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent." I'm asking myself, why? The scripture says, because the kingdom of God is at hand, because the kingdom of God is already here. I'm asking myself, John the Baptist, what are you talking about? I need some scriptures. What are you talking about? What is this kingdom that is at hand? I page back. I get to Matthew chapter number 1, verse 21. It says, we find an angel talking to Joseph. Joseph, who's about to put away Mary, because Mary is found to be pregnant before they get married. And you know, Mary was a virgin. Now, how is Mary being pregnant now? We find this words from an angel. It says, she, which is Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why call him Jesus? He carries on and says, for he shall save his people from their sins. So this child that is going to be born here, Jesus, is the one that will save his people from their sins. He's the one that is a promise from Genesis chapter 3, the one that was coming. A few years later, Jesus, beginning his ministry, this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Listen. It says, this is not Jesus, this is the account that we get. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is in your midst. So now we are filled with joy. This Daniel is talking a 600 years before Jesus is born, saying there will be a kingdom. And then this Jesus says, this kingdom is here now. So now, we want to find out why were the people in captivity supposed to be happy and joyful to hear this news of Daniel? How is this great news to a person who is in deep trouble? How is this great news to a person who is broken hearted? Then we look at Daniel 44 and 45. We find the true identity of this kingdom. Verse 44 identifies this kingdom to us based on time, based on period, on history. And I'm not looking at that today. I'm looking at verse 45 to identify this kingdom as we're going to look at it today. It says, number one, is the kingdom, the stone that was cut from a mountain. It's a kingdom that will be not established by human hands. It will be God's own making. No man will be involved. No human strength will be involved. Then we ask ourselves, how can this be? Then we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 that says, therefore the Lord himself, Modimo Iena, that's the Lord himself, that's number one, will give you a sign too. It will be the Lord himself, he will give you a sign. Behold the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So this will not involve a man, so it will not be from a human hands. A virgin will bear a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. Which means Lord with us. And this is what we read in the book of Matthew. Listen to Matthew chapter number 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, meaning promised to get married to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this thing, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel.
From Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23, go tsa la ha Jesu Kriste ho tlile ka mogauna. Maria mai ha lebeleditswe ke Josepha a tshoha a emoditsitswe ke matla a moya o halalelang ba se ho kopana Josepha monna wa hae ka ba le motho ya lukileng mme a se rate ho mo hobosa a hopola ho mo lahla ka diphiri empa itse ha se hopotse teng le nyolo la morena la mohlaela ka tokola re Josepha morata Peter o se ka wa tshaba ho wekela Maria mosadi wa hao gobane se emotsweng ke ena ke sa moya o halalelang o tla tswala mora mme o tla moraya lebitso la Jesu obane ke yena ya la posta tshaba tsa ha di bentsa sona ho ho se o hlaile ho ho etsa ha le ho letse ke morena ka mo profeta ya itseng bona moretsana o tla emola a tswa le mora me le bitso la o hlabisa Emmanuel hore ha ho fetola modimo o na le ho
hallelujah glory be to God and amen.
Amen.
This is what God says. This Jesus born in Bethlehem is fulfilling what God has promised in the past. Listen to what Jesus says himself. Jesus said to them, have you not heard in the scripture, the stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone? And this was the Lord's doing. Jesus is pointing to himself to be a stone that Daniel has spoken about. Jesus is saying he's that stone that came from a mountain and crushed all the kingdoms. And we are told in the book of Daniel, then brothers and sisters, this stone which now we know is Jesus, it says it will blow every kingdom out of this way, out of his sight. He will blow everything like shafts. You remember when we read Psalm chapter number 1? Blowing everything like shafts, which speak of sin. Shaft is a symbol of sin in the lives of people. I did make an example about a shaft before. I don't want to waste my time. But now, that dust, the hambayo, that is a symbol of shaft. Because you don't need that, you need the peanut. So Jesus will blow out the sins in the life of people, so that the people may be presented holy and blameless before our God. It says the kingdom shall blow all these kingdoms like shaft. There will be a remover of sin in this world. And we are told another thing, that this kingdom will grow from small to large. It will grow from a little rock, and this rock will fill up the whole earth. What is this talking about? It's talking about the kingdom of Christ, talking about the church of God that began with few people. We see it beginning with few people, and today it's a number that cannot be counted, a number that cannot be known. My question, my brother, my sister, are you in this kingdom? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you find confidence and say, I know my Redeemer has redeemed me from sin? Says it's going to start as a little rock. It's going to fill up the earth. And this is what I read in the book of Isaiah. It says in chapter number 9.
Isaiah chapter 9.
I'm reading 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Very important line. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. The increase of his government, his kingdom, shall be forever and ever, growing from a little stone that fills the whole earth. Brothers and sisters, it is a kingdom set up by God. Worshipping a God that set up a kingdom that no man can build. That is why no one in this world is called to build the kingdom of God. We are not called to build the kingdom of God. We are called to enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born by water and the Spirit, he shall not see, meaning enter and see the kingdom of God. We are not called to build it. That is why we stand and say, enter, come to him while he's still near. He says, seek the Lord, he may be found. Call upon him while he's still near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, let him return to our God, for he will pardon him. Brothers and sisters, we're speaking of a kingdom here that is presented to us as a kingdom that unites a people to a marvelous God. A kingdom that snatches people from darkness to light. It says, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whosoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. Whosoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. So, brothers and sisters, let me tell you good news before I leave. This kingdom is present. In other words, this kingdom is still here. If you may enter this kingdom, that's when you will find peace, that's where you will find true happiness. And this kingdom you can only enter through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. That is the good news to all those that still looking to enter in. Enter in while the time is still here. And to those that believe, the kingdom is not only present. The kingdom is also future. It is now. It is now. And it is coming. What are we talking about? Jesus Christ, our Lord, is coming, brothers and sisters. It says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to exercise judgment unto all and to convict all the ungodly people. He is coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. Will he find you in this kingdom? Are you sitting in your chair comfortable that when he comes, your name is in his book? Do you want to know how to find out if your name is in the book of the Lord? If you may believe in his saving power, if you may come to him and have life. The scripture says, the bride and the spirit says, come. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. A kingdom that will never be destroyed. Enter and have life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Holy is our God, holy is your name. Oh, Father, we have heard the kingdom that will not be destroyed. Kingdom that is present, kingdom that is still to come. Kingdom set up by the death of Christ, removing the stain and the power of sin in our lives. Oh God, will you speak to our hearts even now and touch those that don't believe, that they may come into believing in you, oh God. That your church may glorify your holy name. Speak these words and echo them in our hearts. May we find joy in saying these words. We belong to a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you, Father, in the name of Christ. We all say amen.
Amen.
And we shall sing hymn number 84.